And for more on these developments, joining us from Washington, D.C. is our correspondent, Simon Marks. What, to your mind, are the key takeaways from the developments so far, Simon? And what do we know about the Biden administration's Afghan policy so far?
Well, there's absolutely no question, Molly, that the Biden administration finds itself in a bind that is a predictable bind. They knew it was coming because, of course, Joe Biden's predecessor in the White House there, Donald Trump, planned for the full-scale withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, a decision that troubled some Democrat strategists when it was made because they argued that the facts on the ground even at the time didn't suggest that the time was apposite for those remaining 2,500 troops to come back. Now the facts on the ground have worsened. They've become less stable, with the Pentagon officially saying just a few days ago that the proposed troop withdrawals are unequal to the task that the United States and its allies face in Afghanistan. But there's an agreement in place. It's supposed to all happen, as you know, by May. And so the Biden administration is now clearly signaling to the Afghan government and also to its NATO allies that it doesn't want to go ahead with that full-scale withdrawal right now. There are options in place to delay the implementation of the agreement with the permission of the Afghan government, to scrap it entirely and come up with a new set of benchmarks for a later withdrawal of U.S. troops. But it's a complex thicket because, of course, there are forces in Afghanistan that want to see the back of the Americans and are going to push very heavily for that to occur on the current timetable. The outcome appears at present to be moving in a direction where some of those U.S. forces will stay on the ground in Afghanistan. There is support in Congress for that, backing Joe Biden up, because even Republicans on Capitol Hill were dubious about the proposals that the Trump administration forged with the Afghan government when Donald Trump was still in residence at the White House.
Right. Now, NATO's decision to not pull out comes after numerous threats by the Taliban. Even the peace talks that have continued so far have taken place in the shadow of violence and numerous attacks by the Taliban. They also mean that there has been substantial failure on part of the American government to ensure that the Taliban attacks do not continue.
Yeah, I think it's worth making the point that Zalmay Khalilzad was kept on by the Biden administration in his critical role, as it's viewed by politicians of all sides here in Washington, in trying to oversee this process. He, of course, is the former U.S. ambassador, now very much in charge of those conversations with the Afghan government. There is no question that there is pressure on Joe Biden from multiple sides here, because were he simply to do nothing and withdraw those U.S. forces, there is evidently the concern that Afghanistan could once again serve as a haven of instability that could lead to fresh attacks against American interests at home and overseas, a regrouping by Al-Qaeda and Islamic State perfectly possible there. But equally, Joe Biden also is under pressure from those voters in the United States that say, look, Donald Trump was absolutely right. It's time to disentangle ourselves from faraway conflicts about which we know nothing. So he's going to be eager, I think, to come up with a solution that isn't just another open-ended commitment to an American troop presence in Afghanistan after 20 years of that already having been notched up by the United States. There is an appetite for an exit strategy, and the Biden administration knows that. But they believe that it's trumped by the concerns of Afghanistan once again becoming a destabilizing presence on the world stage if those U.S. troops simply walk away.
Simon Marks, thanks very much for those details and updates as of now.